Well, I'll tell you what, folks. This is another episode of Inside Curling. It's a special episode. It's called Inside the Women's World Championships from Sydney, Nova Scotia. And we are on air here about 5 minutes after the semifinal game was played. I don't want to give anything away, Kevin, but woohoo! Woohoo! Yeah, you can probably guess. We want to thank all of you for listening and tuning into all our shows, including these special ones. Of course, our sponsors, Jackpot City, Coyote Tractor, and Goldline. They're with us each and every week. The weekly show, Coyote Tractor, brings you hot rock topics. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, the ZTRs, and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. The World Women's is now down to just two teams. This just in. I'm loving this. And we're going to find out from Kevin. He got to watch some of the game. You've been traveling, of course. Like I just said, you had to get from Nova Scotia to the West Coast. You might be the worst luck in the world for travel. Every time you go to travel somewhere, it's like, they must be going, oh, it's Kevin Martin. Yeah, delay it by 2 hours. Do that. So we got to talk all about that. Kev, well, why don't you unroll it for us?
Well, actually, I saw most of the game. Canada looked so good early, got the deuce to get it going in the second end. But then Team Korea, they are run back machines. Running things back and sticking them buried. I don't even know how many times in the game. It was a lot. Where they're in big trouble. Canada's got them. But no, they don't. Because Warren, even in nine, like Rachel makes that roll right on top of the top button over and overrolled by 1 inch.
And boom.
And they come right back.
Yumanji, straight back, nails it, completely lost underneath the guard. You know, the stuff like that. It's just, and then the next one, of course, she makes that soft weight double to get the deuce to be one up going home. You know, it's just again and again. It was such a good heavyweight tilt between the two teams. I don't even know if I can really say one team outplayed the other than Tracy Fleury's hit and roll on the biter. It's funny. I'm on like 700 different chats, right? It's like, should she play that shot? Should she come around? Should she do this? Should she do that? But, and you can only question shots if the person misses.
Right.
Tracy made that roll into the 8 foot. Now it's looking good, but no, we're not, because Kim Min-ji makes a hit and roll to biter of the 8 foot circle, shot rock, and nothing we can do about it. So then what? Got to play an angle raise. Bump into the middle. If Kim Min-ji makes her hit and roll to the open side, it's gonna be an extra end. There's not gonna be a way for Rachel to get two. She ends up nosing. The first shot where Team Korea needed a roll, or you know, and just didn't get it, and then Rachel makes a beautiful double, and the rest is history. But what a game, Warren!
It was an outstanding game. I look back at the start of this game, and I think the third end is where the trend of things really changed. So Canada's leading 2-0 playing the third end, but Korea has the hammer. Kim went to throw her first rock. It didn't look like Canada was in much of a trouble. She makes a perfect roll behind a guard. Rachel reacts appropriately, but in doing so sets up the possibility of a double for three. And of course, Korea makes it perfectly. And all of a sudden, Canada, who was up 2, is now down 3-2, and they are now, from that point on, fighting back. The next end, same type of thing. Rachel has a great opportunity, if she can make a double with her last one, to come back with another three, but probably throws a little bit too hard and allows them, Canada, only get one. So now the score is evened up. And from that point on, it was just seesaw back and forth right up until that 10th end of never knowing at any point in time who was probably going to win and who was going to lose. And like you said, Kevin, the shots that Korea was making, particularly Min-ji Kim, were unbelievable. Her touch on the draw shots. Rachel Holman must be wondering at some point in time, what have I got to do to get her to miss? It was a phenomenal game, and certainly a lot of entertainment value in that game, without question.
Well, let's whip along, boys. There was another semifinal. Who wants to go first?
So the other semifinal with Switzerland against Italy. And again, we couldn't see much of it on television because TSN was just giving us the highlights and the updates, but it appeared from what we could hear and the bits that we could see, again, a very closely fought battle. The Italian team seemed to be struggling a bit, but Stefani Constantini was bailing them out every end. So that score, again, was tied neck and neck up until about the eighth end. And then the Swiss finally broke through. The Italians took them right down to the final ruck in the final end. So it, again, was a hard-fought battle. So I think those games tomorrow, the final of Switzerland against Canada, what a showdown that's going to be. And I think in the bronze medal game with Italy against Korea, that's going to be another beauty, I think. So two really good games happening tomorrow. And, well, what a tribute to women's curling we've seen here in these games the last couple of days of how good it has become and how proficient they are at that level.
And the four underdogs sneak through.
Yeah, exactly.
but it ain't easy, man, right, when you watch those games, right? Well, you guys beautifully broke down the Rachel Holman's game. So I want to skip this bit, but I can't because I know who I picked. We did some picks. Who's going to get into the final?
Well, you did this to yourself, Jim, so it was self-inflicted wound.
Wipe the grin off your face.
You picked Sweden. You picked Hasselborg against Terenzoni. It's going to be the two in the final. So you're half
all
right. You got Terenzoni there. Kevin and I both picked Canada and Switzerland, so we were correct on both instances.
Damn it.
Self-inflicted injury. You had it right to start with.
Hey, how about the crowd you guys worn today?
Yeah, fabulous.
Absolutely electric. Like the building was not every seat was not full, but it was close and loud. Wonderful atmosphere to play in. And you know, you could tell the curlers were enjoying it. And it doesn't matter if it's just Canada. Like, you know, the Canadian team, of course, for the most part, the crowd are cheering for them because, of course, they're from Canada. But I think all athletes have to enjoy that. That building was really loud when a good shot was being made.
I'm imagining there's no tickets left for the final. And if there was, people are lined up 90 deep. Unless you're a scalper. Maybe curling's got to go to scalpers. Boy, the WCF will be real happy I just said that.
Well, no, but I'll tell you what, you can say whatever you want. The WCF are very, very happy because the crowd is so big and electric. And how about, to Warren's point, you know, the show that was put on in these two games.
Right.
Constantini was in big trouble. I'm down in the States right now. I just got here this afternoon from Nova Scotia. And here we get the world feed. So we actually got to see more of the updates than what you would have done with TSN in Canada. And a lot of that game, Stefania Constantini was in big trouble and just kept pulling the team out. It was in the seventh end, actually, Warren, when Alina Petz made an intern bump to get the 2 points. Yep. It was a really tough shot. Had to just squeak her own and come back down to one of the Italy stones and just made it perfect. And that sort of broke the game open. That's that deuce you're talking about. And then Stefania could only get 1 point in the next end. And actually, the last shot that Alina Petz made in 10, Constantini could not have put that rock in a better spot, right on the button, came around everything. But Alina Petz came by the guard by nothing and made a double raise to get that rock out of there. So I thought, out of the hand, I was sitting with Carrick and Brittany, they're here, and right out of the hand, they're trying to make it curl. I said, hey, this is going extra end. But just scratched the Italian stone out of the forefoot and secured the win for Switzerland. But you've got two skips, Rachel Holman and Alina Petz, that have been really, really good all week. This is just going to be an amazing final. The top two teams, without question. Top two skips, without question,
right.
And they're just going to battle it out.
And don't forget the bronze medal game. That should also be a bummer because you got two teams there that are going to want to desperately win that bronze medal. And two of the world's best in Korea and Italy.
And five in a row, right? What's her name's going? I shouldn't say what's her name, right?
What's her name? Yeah, that unknown curler from Switzerland. What the heck's her name anyway? But yeah, Silvana and Alina, they're going for their fifth in a row, absolutely.
And their seventh overall.
For Alina,
yes.
Yeah, Petz. Yeah. I read that today. Kevin, talk about you've played in some big events, man, your whole life. And Rachel Holman now and her team got to go to sleep tonight. How did you handle nerves, Kev, and stress? And did you sleep well?
It got easier as you got older, Jim. When you're young, it's tough. But both of these teams have both won lots of stuff. Rachel's won so much stuff. And of course, obviously, Alina has too, especially in the world stage. I think both teams will be fine. Selina Vincenzanka on Switzerland, second. Brand new to this. She's not going to sleep much tonight. Tracy Fleury, she's new to it at the world stage. So she's not going to sleep much tonight. But I think everybody also will get a good nap. Don Bartlett likely won't sleep at all. He's going to be some kind of keyed up. You see him when he went out? He did a great job. He came out for the timeout. Well, I think it was a 9. And I was just watching Don. And, he's really into it. But he really didn't want to get Rachel off of her game because she's just been ridiculously on fire. So you see how Don managed that situation. I thought he did a really good job.
Did you see Don right after they won? Like the second they flashed to the, must be their alternate there, and
Rochelle, yeah, Rochelle Brown,
and the other guy.
Oh, Victor Schell.
Yeah. So it's the three of them. Bartlett's sitting in the middle. The two of them are on his wings, each side, and they're up. Okay, they're, you know how you know the shot's going to happen. It crosses the hog line, and they're jumping up for joy. And Bartlett is sitting there like a sphinx, not moving. He didn't smile like for about 5 seconds or, when it happened, he was just paralyzed, I love Donnie Bartlett and good luck to them. Tomorrow we'll all be watching. Do we dare do a pick, Warren, to see who's going to win, or are we all?
Yes, we're going to pick gold, silver, and bronze.
Oh, okay.
So you're first, Jim.
Do you remember the four teams?
Yeah.
Good.
Can you hear me typing on my phone? No, I'm not. Well, I got to go Rach, of course. I'm going to go Rach. The bronze medal game is, so that's Italy and Korea. I love Korea.
Okay.
They'll get the bronze.
And Kevin?
I've got to go Canada, gold, and Swiss, of course, silver. And yeah, I've got to go with Korea too. They just played a heck of a game today. And Gim just kept making, and actually Kim Min-ji too. Wow, just made so many incredible shots. And bronze medal for Team Korea and for Team Italy mean a ton. So it is going to be a really good.
Why does it mean so much? Tell us why.
Emerging nations.
Emerging nations in curling. Like they haven't been around forever.
Not used to being on a podium.
Don't yell at me. I just asked.
Absolutely. No. That's important to ask. It's good.
Well, I thought maybe it was keeps you as a qualifier with points or something for whatever.
Well, there is that too, but these teams are all so good.
They're so good. Yeah, right.
They're going to all be in the Olympics. No worries there. Or the nations. I shouldn't say these teams necessarily, but that's, you could argue that too.
Right. Warren, there was a couple other events before we go. Canadian Championship events, which are going to kick off tomorrow.
Yes, there's two of them. They're kind of the last two of the season on the Canadian side. So in Fort McMurray, Alberta, will be the U21 or the juniors will get underway. So doing a little research on this thing today, interesting stuff, a little bit different than it used to be. Both the men's and women's side has 18 teams, but a number of provinces have two entries, but some provinces' territories aren't represented at all. So I find it interesting. There's no sign of Nunavut, Yukon, or Northwest Territories in either side. So that's not good. That's maybe a topic of other discussion someday. If there's no junior programs in those territories, well, again, that's not a good situation. And I think interesting to note, Haley Gushue is going to be playing third for Kaylee Locke on the women's side, and Brad is apparently heading up there. He's there now to be there for the first couple of days before he heads off to Switzerland. So
why not, right? You got to be a dad first, and then shoot over and do your business. That's wonderful.
Not just a dad, a 4,000-mile dad, okay? This guy's coming from Newfoundland to Fort McMurray. Okay, you got to take a sled dog to get up there this time of year. And then he's blowing over to Switzerland for the...
It's a straight line. Look at the globe.
Nothing. Yeah, that's nothing.
Newfoundland, Fort McMurray, Switzerland. I guess that's kind of a zigzag, isn't it?
I think the good news is the provinces that are bigger, stronger, they're getting two teams in the Canadian Juniors, which means there is going to be more than the normal number that's going to get an opportunity to participate at this level. And as two pools of nine in each side of men and women, and it looks like probably a similar playoff to the Brier from what I can find right now with six teams advancing to the playoff. So there's another event starting on Sunday as well, and that's the Canadian Wheelchair Championship. And this has teams in it from Newfoundland, Labrador, New Brunswick, Quebec, Manitoba. And as well, from Saskatchewan, there are two entries. From Alberta, there are two entries. And from BC, there are two entries. So again, a good thing, I think, in provinces where they've got more players that they're looking to the point of allowing them more than one entry. So in both cases, those events kick off tomorrow, Sunday, and best of luck to everybody involved.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Warren. Also,
and how is your commentating?
Exactly. There's a third event that wrapped up, and it was just a fantastic deal. It was at the Granite Club, Western Canadian Blind Curling Championships. And I'll tell you what, man, I was there all day, and your old rival, Kevin, did a great job. He's a hilarious guy. Marcel Rock helped me out. He was doing the play-by-play. The skill of these people, Warren, is through the roof. And when I walked in with Marcel, we're looking at this, and he grabbed me by the arm. He said, get over here. This may not sound like they're too skilled, but they are. Marcel's never seen an eight-ender. And we almost saw one. We almost saw one. So that was the highlight. Team Alberta lost in the semifinal to one of the two teams from BC. I'm sorry, I don't have all the names of the people, but I know the teams. But Alberta won the semifinal over Manitoba. And the two teams from BC were in the final. And the team from Prince George, who's no stranger to whipping everyone's ass at blind curling, one. So you can tune in tomorrow on AMI and listen to it. Or sorry, on Monday. On Monday, they're going to rerun it. So congratulations to all those teams, and what a great job they do. It's been, the history of this thing has been going on for a long, long time. So I made a couple of mistakes, Warren.
I can't imagine that.
Ask me how well I did, Warren, when Andy Frank is the manager of AMI. He said, he jumped on with us on there and he said, Jim, I'd like to go through some questions with you to see if you can explain the definitions. And I said, okay. And the first two he gave me were, what's a biter and what's a hammer? And I went, are you really doing that to me, Andy? So anyway, they were great. It was a wonderful afternoon, the Granite Club. But the Granite Club, Kevin, is 104 years old. I looked around for your name, Warren, on the walls, but I couldn't find it. I got too busy, but must be the oldest club in the country.
not quite the country. It's one of the oldest in Edmonton. It's one of the oldest that's still surviving. The old Royal and the old Edmonton Club were the oldest ones, but they're both gone.
Yeah. Warren, you would know this as well. We had Graham Prowse on a couple shows ago, and we finished with asking him about the viewership of curling in Canada and, around how these events view. And I thought, Canada must be the biggest viewership going. And he quickly pointed out we were fifth or sixth down the line of total viewership, that the Asian countries, China and Japan. And I was telling Marcel this, Warren, and the number is absolutely staggering. And I couldn't believe him, but he said it's true. China was going to play, I think, Canada in a playoff game in the Sochi Olympics. Okay, which is 2014, right, Kev? After you won in Vancouver.
2014.
So the game was in the middle of the night in China, Warren. Take a shot at how many viewers they had.
I'd say about 7 million.
7 million, okay. Canada gets about 1 million. Try 750 million people got up to watch a game in the middle of the night that they had no idea what was going on.
That's a scary number.
I said, just short of 1 billion people. Don't shoot the messenger. That's what Marcel told me. He keeps that in perspective, but I just thought I wanted to pass that on. Boys, good job. And thank you to everyone for listening. Kevin, thank you for getting off between planes and jumping on a train and taking an Uber to wherever you have to go. They did a movie about that. Good stuff by you guys. Thank you. And way to go, Rachel. The time of that game tomorrow on TS, whatever they're called.
The final tomorrow will be on 5 o'clock Atlantic time for the final, and the bronze medal game will be on at 11 o'clock Atlantic.
Right on. Gold Line each week brings you in the house. Gold Line Curling is proud to be the founding partner of United We Curl, a nonprofit focused on expanding diversity in curling. Learn more at unitedwecurl.com. The weekly show, Coyote Tractor, brings you hot rock topics. If you have work to do, Coyote has the tractors, the UTVs, and the ZTRs and compact construction equipment to do it. Coyote, we dig dirt. Each and every week, one of our big segment is what's happening around the curling world. Jackpot City sponsors that. Jackpot City, casino games, perfectly made for you. Thank you for everyone for tuning in, and thank you for jumping on our Facebook page. It's very active. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to Rod Paulson for looking after all that. And if you want to drop us an email, insidecurling@gmail.com. That's insidecurling@gmail.com. Boys, get some rest. 4 o'clock my time tomorrow.
No.
No. 5 o'clock Atlantic is the... I don't know where I am, Warren. I might...
2 o'clock Alberta.
2 o'clock. Did I read all the ads?
1 o'clock in Pacific.
Okay. Who's on first?
Mike, pin it together, will you, fella? Take it easy, everybody. Kevin, enjoy your time. And we'll talk to everyone next week on another episode of Inside Curling.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jimmy.